This episode is sponsored by The Wedding Shop. Having a gift list makes life easier for both you and your wedding guests. With over 450 brands, honeymoon funds, charity contributions and personalised funds, there is absolutely no chance you're ending up with 40 of the same wine glasses. Not to mention the service is completely free of charge, which makes it even better. So to celebrate your engagement, we are giving anyone who registers for The Wedding Shop via the link in the show notes, £50 worth of Wedding Shop credit for you to spend on any gift from their branded partners. T's and C's apply. Hi, I'm Imogen.
And I'm Ella.
And you're listening to the Rock My Wedding podcast,
bringing you all the inspiration and help you need as you make your way along your planning journey.
Join us as we chat with our recommended suppliers from our curated list, sharing with you all the expert advice.
And don't forget about Recycle My Wedding, your one-stop shop for a more sustainable wedding.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back. We're still at Recommended Supplier Elmore Court.
Yes.
We're still filming, so you can still watch us.
Yes.
But this week, we're back talking all things bridal fashion.
Yep.
And who better to do that with than...
drum roll.
Fashion enthusiast and Recommended Supplier, Sian from Tilly Trotters. And actually, you've brought a second guest with you today.
Yes, we have Renee.
Renee, and that's your little sausage dog.
Yeah, one of the sausages. Renee's very well behaved. And she just wanted a break from the boys.
Yeah,
so
it's nice to have her here too.
Yes.
She's come to put her input because she's got some key tips for brides. So she'll share those later.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. You're very important.
Oh no, it's so nice actually. And I feel like I have a personal connection to Tilly Trotters because my sister actually bought her wedding dress from you guys.
Yes.
I think I've mentioned before that she got married in 2021. Yes, in 2021 after COVID. And she got a Stella York dress from you guys.
Yes, that she made bespoke with her beautiful sleeves.
She did. She added gorgeous sleeves. It was kind of a big ball gown.
Yeah, it wasn't A-line. Huge, but it was beautiful classic Mikado and putting the sleeves on it just made it look so elegant and not like anything else that we had, but that we really wanted in the boutique. I'm looking over at Laura because Laura's here as well in the background, but she's not allowed to make any noise. It's like nothing else that we had in the boutique and she just made it so beautiful and elegant. And we were obsessed with her and we still haven't got her photos.
No, I have asked her to send them in again.
It's on the podcast now.
Yeah, yes. It's recorded.
Send your photos. And I'll get her to send this.
Yeah.
But you are obviously from a fashion background.
Yes.
How did you get into, opening Tilly's? Where did Tilly's come from?
So, I mean, I was born in 1982 and...
all the specifics.
Yeah, you wanted everything, didn't you?
Every last detail.
So I've always worked in luxury retail. So I've worked for beautiful cosmetic brands, so Parfum Christian Dior, and that was the bulk of my experience was with those guys. And that really taught me the basics of exceptional experience and a beautiful customer service and down to how you fold a receipt. It was those sort of attention to detail that I absolutely adored. And you cut me, it would be my mastermind subject, Christian Dior would be the most beautiful brand and I loved everything that was synonymous with it. And I've always carried that through with my cosmetics career. And then I got approached by Burberry and they said, would you come and speak to us about heading up the training team? And I was like, what, for cosmetics? Because obviously they have Burberry Beauty. And they were like, no, fashion. And I didn't realize, I thought my degree's in media. I thought you would need a fashion background to get to work for such a synonymous label they said come along, come and speak to us. And because for Burberry it's all about the experience again, and they really believe they've changed a lot since I've worked for them, but I think the basics are there in that they believe in something called democratic luxury. So it doesn't matter how much you're spending, it doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is, everyone gets exactly the same amazing experience. And so anyway, long story short, I went to work for those. I headed up the UK training team. Uh-huh. Then it's extended to Northern Europe. And then it was the whole of Europe. Yeah. And then my boss at the time, who was director went to do a secondment over in the Middle East. So then I covered her role as well. So I really got to spend a lot of time looking at everything from training the VPs, the directors of the different regions, to store managers on how to manage teams, to product knowledge, to creating a lot of material. At one point, they brought back a lot of the cosmetics labels. So that training was then bought all in-house. Yeah. But no one, they didn't have any beauty training people. So then I was roped into doing that. So it was literally everything, every single thing you could possibly think of. Back of house training, which is just insane because the back of our house in the shop is carnage. And I don't know how I ever trained anyone on any sort of systems. But yeah. So it's just sort of escalated from there. I've been married twice. Nothing, there's anything wrong with that. But the wedding to my first husband... oh my God, I really sound like Elizabeth Taylor, like I'm killing them off as well. Husband number one. Yeah, I had great experiences wherever I went, and I will never be, I think, quite a common thing with new bridal shops to say, oh, I didn't have a great experience, so that's why I've opened mine. And I don't think that's fair. I think at the time, the expectations were a lot lower of bridal shops and of service. And I think it's definitely, and I've realised this over the last few years, it's definitely a generation thing. I think the expectation of bridal is now so much higher than it was then.
Yeah.
My expectations were ridiculously high because I was offering that service that I expected. And I got a great service, and I'm not suggesting that, but I felt like with my skills and expertise, oh my God, listen to me, everything I know and I'm about. I thought I could really impact in a positive way on a bridal experience. And for me, it was always about having... a really luxurious experience that was exceptional and inclusive, and everyone was welcome, but it was also really fun and not snotty and pretentious and judgy and making you feel like shit because you don't know the different shapes of dresses and things like that. Because I worked in fashion, I knew what suited me, but bridal's completely different ball game. And what I liked in bridal and what suited me were two very different things. Like I was adamant I was going to wear Jenny Packham, and that was it. And I went in, I tried it on, and I just looked like a sausage.
I think that happens a lot though, doesn't it? Like everyone has an idea of what they want to look like on their wedding day, or what style they think is going to suit them, or what material they want. And then they go and try them on,
and it's completely
and actually
different.
They come out with something completely different.
And I think that, I mean, that's so common. I'd say that happens to 90%, if not more, of brides. But I think what brides need to do is just be open to the fact that what they really love and what they're pinning and what they've seen, they might not be walking away with that. In fact, it's probably a very high chance that they won't walk away with that. And I think as long as they've got that open mind, then they'll still have a great experience. I think it's hard when brides are so set on wearing a certain style of dress and it's not for them, and then they can't see past that. And then they just go on this relentless search to try and find this shape that suits them, when actually it's just not their style and they should just move on. But I did find that when I tried on Jenny Packham and it looked hideous, like, oh, so hideous. And she is beautiful, and I love Jenny Packham and everything, all of her collections, but yeah, it just didn't suit me. I wasn't then being offered alternatives. They weren't then saying, okay, well, look, move on. That doesn't suit you, but why don't you try this?
It was
very much sort of, okay, well, go and pick some dresses out and try them on. And
which
was great. And yeah, and they were all very patient with me, which you need with me. But I felt like I just needed that little bit extra, and I felt like I could bring that to the... to the industry. So I'm going to really lower the tone now, but it was 4 months before my wedding and my mum died. So let's just really lower that tone now. And then suddenly my life priorities completely changed. And actually running around Europe and working for the big corporates and never being at home and all of those sort of things weren't as important. And so obviously I came into some money after she died, and I used that to open Tilly's.
Oh, I love that.
And she used to call me Tilly. She called me Tilly Trotter. She hated my name. She was a very bitter divorcee, which is ironic. Then I opened a bridal shop. But yeah, very bitter. Hated my dad until the day she died. And because my dad named me, she refused to call me Sian. She'd never call me Sian.
Really?
Only ever called me Tilly or Tilly Trotter. So I thought it was only right that I put Tilly's in her really happy memory.
Such a lovely backstory. So obviously we look at beautiful weddings all day, every day, working on my wedding.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, what I want for my wedding changes every week. One week I'm having a boho rustic barn wedding. Next week I'm having a black tie event at Elmore Court. So when you've just got married, congratulations.
Yes, again. Oh, yeah, congratulations. Thank you.
So when you were picking your dress, how did you pick your dress? Because you are surrounded by so many beautiful dresses all day, every day.
Well, and I can say this because obviously my six-year-old won't be listening to this, so it's always been a secret. But we actually eloped in December last year.
So he doesn't know.
So Hector didn't know, no. Aww. And I didn't think he'd care. And then he saw a photo and was like, you didn't get married, did you? I was like, no, it's a photo shoot. It's a photo shoot. And he didn't question it. So then it was going to just be a celebration, but it turned into another full-blown wedding, which was 2 weeks ago, which is what you're thinking of. But yeah, so when we eloped, we didn't tell a soul. The only people who knew were the designer, Charlie Breer, and Jessica Raphael, who's an incredible wedding photographer.
Oh, I know Jess. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And Jessica was also one of our brides.
Yeah.
So I always said if I were to ever remarry, I would wear Charlie Breer, hands down. Yeah. I've stocked her since
they're
I
so
opened,
beautiful.
And I just love the versatility of it. And what I loved about Charlie was Jess, who was the previous wholesale manager. She was always like, you need to try them on when I took them on. And I said, oh my God, absolutely not. I'm too fat. I'm not trying on those sort of styles. And she was like, no, you need to try them on. And I put it on and I loved it. And I think that sometimes with these sort of really relaxed style dresses and styling separates, the consensus is that you have to be a waif to wear them. And there's absolutely something for everyone.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've always said, I'll wear her, absolutely wear Charlie. So then when we decided to elope and we had 6 weeks to do it in, sent Charlie a little voice note and it just went from there. So I went to see Charlie at her studio, tried on one dress, one overskirt, knew immediately that's what it was, didn't even try anything else on. And that was it. Then decided, and then I went back for I went back for my alterations and that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the dream bride. What can I say?
Yeah,
exactly.
Knew what you wanted.
And then, second time around, not second time, but for the second wedding, I would have happily, I'm such a liar. I'm saying I would have happily worn the same thing again. I absolutely would not have worn the same thing again.
You've got too much choice to wear the same thing again.
I knew that for me, it was, for both times, it was really important I supported one of my designers. Mm. I really wanted it to be one of the smaller designers. And it was, if I could, one of the UK-based designers. Yeah. And so Charlie would have been, she was perfect. She ticked everything that I wanted. She supports everything I believe in terms of her brand and service and things like that. So it was always going to be Charlie. And the same with the second time round. And she offered to design me something the second time. So I went for a jumpsuit. And then, because Charlie started doing some separate, so as in styling additions, so you can have a different top and a different bottom, but connect it all as a jumpsuit.
Oh, that's so cool.
She's doing loads of pieces like that going forward. So it's really mixing and matching different elements of dresses, but putting them together as a dress or a jumpsuit rather than having them as separate.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then she adapted one of her overskirts. I can't remember the name of the blimmin' overskirt now. The Liliana overskirt. Have I made that up, Laura? No, she's nodding. That's right. And then we just had more on it because I'm extra, and some sleeves. And so we took it all off anyway. And then I put on another skirt. And then she said, why don't you try this? And then I put another top on. And it was just, it was relentless.
So how many outfits did you
have? Four, I think, in the end.
Oh my God,
four outfit
amazing.
Changes. But it was just horrific because I was so drunk by the end of it. I didn't know what I was doing. And I think Charlie was at the wedding and she just saw this most, I think my adaptation of what she wanted the outfit to look like versus what I'd actually put on was not what she wanted representing her brand. But thankfully she was there to sort it out, retied the bow, sorted out the sleeves and sent me on my way again.
Oh, bless her.
Oh, that's so nice. Because I think what we're seeing now more than ever is, like we say, like Rock My Wedding's ethos is your day, your way. And it's kind of, people are choosing like different outfits. It's not just like the big white wedding dress anymore.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of like bridal separates and jumpsuits.
Yeah.
And metallic wedding dresses.
Yeah.
Huge.
Huge metallic wedding dresses. Is that something you're seeing when brides come in? They're more open to looking for kind of different styles?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have quite a unique bride at Tillers, and I always say that our bride's very different to everyone else's brides. we have some brilliant brides. And what I love is that brides come to us because they know that they're going to get something different, but it's not so fashion-y that it's not wearable.
A bit out there, yes.
And a bit, yeah, you'll look back and it's a great idea at the time, but actually, yeah. What the fuck was I thinking wearing that?
Yeah.
And I think with... that's why separates are doing so well at the moment, because yeah. It's giving brides the option to wear more than one outfit, which I think is great to do.
Yeah.
But you don't, realistically, people don't have the budget for that.
Yeah.
But also to wear something a bit different, not that sort of classic lace A line, which yeah. when you're at a stage of your life where majority of brides are getting married or their friends are getting married at the same sort of time, you don't yeah. want to be wearing the same as everyone else. Yes. And I think that's where you get the versatility of separates,
yeah.
which is why we're definitely seeing an increase in those sort of options.
Yeah.
And not just Charlie, like we could have our girls who will wear a really classic Mikado A-line, but then maybe pop one of Charlie's jackets over the top
yeah.
and things like that. And
yeah.
so it's still, even the brides who don't want to go full on jumpsuit and...
Yes.
And like there's feathers and stuff, there's still options. And I think brides love that. They love the idea yeah. of being able to make things.
Yeah, definitely. And it's kind of like you get two outfits or dresses in one, because you can be wearing like a over.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
And then take it off for the evening, do yes. and make your entrance, and it's kind of you're wearing a whole new
yeah.
yeah.
And one
party
thing,
outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing we do say to brides though is if, because we have a lot who want two different dresses, but I always say, and if you're going to do it as like a conscious decision.
Yeah.
Don't just change into your dress at 9 o'clock at night, your different dress, when everyone's half cut, people won't even recognise what yeah. you've done. It's just like putting on another dress for the sake of it.
Yeah.
Whereas, for example, one of our amazing brides, Megan, she wore a dress from our friends at the White Boutique over the road for her ceremony, and then changed into a galia with us
yeah.
For the reception. For the wedding breakfast, rather. So it was quite a conscious decision. And then I've had another bride who had one dress for the ceremony and then the drinks afterwards, and then she was having cocktails. So it's all very conscious. So if you're going to do it, I think do it specifically.
Yeah,
have
specifically.
A strategy
yeah.
behind it almost.
Yeah. Yeah, we're definitely seeing kind of like a change in people's attitudes towards what they wear, and kind of, like I say, doing it more how what they want to do rather than the traditional
yeah kind absolutely
of. And I think we're also seeing more coloured wedding dresses as well.
Yes, which, we've seen so many coloured wedding dresses
yeah,
recently.
A yeah. lot of kind of different colours, like obviously you can have like the blush, but we've also seen like blue,
yeah,
a lot of embroidered. And I don't know if that's something you guys are seeing people come in and ask for, like if they come in other colours.
Yeah, I mean, no one ever asks for sort of a strong colour with us.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of the tonal stuff, it's
yeah.
nowhere, like we talk to brides and we're like, are you hell-bent on wearing ivory or off-white? And
yeah.
I think pretty much 9 out of 10 of them are always open to different options.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's not so...
More like the toned-down blushes.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That kind of champagne.
I would love to stock a black wedding dress. And I know Madison James do a gorgeous black
yeah.
one, but the girls won't let me have it. So I always sort of veer towards them at trade shows, and then I'm just getting sort of gently pulled away.
You should have worn one for your wedding.
I know, yeah.
I think feathers as well.
Yeah,
feathers, that's something
yes.
we're seeing a lot of at the moment.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was all the kind of feathers on the getting ready robes and pajamas
yeah.
and things like that. But I think that's now like transpired into like the
it's
dresses,
coming into wedding dresses yeah.
and like the jumpsuits.
Well, I had like the Piora skirt for when we eloped, and it was all feathers. It's
yeah,
head to toe feathers. Yeah,
amazing.
I
think it's so beautiful.
I had this great intention, because we went for dinner. We were at Marylebone Town Hall, and then we went for dinner afterwards. Oh. And I had this great intention of taking the skirt off and just wearing the dress, but the fuss everyone was making.
It was so beautiful.
And bearing in mind you're in London, so they probably yeah. see ridiculous things all the time. But yeah,
yeah,
I think the amount of strangers that came up to me to make a point of
yeah.
saying how much
I'm
they
pretty,
loved it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we had one of those listed on Recycle My Wedding once, the Charlie Brisker, the feather one.
Yeah.
Oh,
and yes,
I
yeah,
was
yeah.
so tempted to just buy it, because I was like, I love it. Yeah, but I can't just sit at home. And
well, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
Yes, you can.
I've suggested we do this on Christmas Day, but Adam sort of looked at me, I feel like, because we were only together 6 months before we got married. He's still learning about me, and I think I think he just couldn't really get his head around whether I was joking or not.
Opening presents.
So yeah,
Hector would be happy though.
He would absolutely. Well, we've decided they're going to wear their tuxes,
oh.
and I've got a dress that I got from Pronovius, not a wedding dress, but one of the cocktail dresses.
Yeah.
Sit
at home
that,
opening
yeah.
your presents.
Sat there and dog wee and everything else. But
oh no, I love that. I think yeah, it was definitely that feathered skirt.
Yeah,
and I was I'm not even getting married and I just want to buy it.
Just do it. it's just all of those elements that they're living. Like Gigi and Olive do the most incredible pyjamas.
Yeah.
Just, I think it's because it's all such a thing now, isn't it?
And yeah.
I think, but for brides, the whole planning thing is getting married. The whole day, the process of getting married is... getting ready and everything is part of getting married.
Yeah, it's so big.
It's also an experience. Yeah, it's also, like we say, not just what you wear on your wedding day anymore.
But also on the other side of things, I don't think brides need, I think there's that pressure as well to make them feel like they need to have a special outfit for the morning.
Yeah.
They need to all have matching dressing gowns. They need to then have something to wear the next day. It's really not, it's not important.
It's not. Yeah. And I think once you get to that time, kind of you realise, actually, do you know what? That's not the important stuff. It's the who I'm surrounded by and, you know.
Yeah, so true.
One of my brides the other day said, I said, tell me about your wedding. She said, oh, it's only going to be about 20 of us. But she almost felt a bit sheepish, a bit apologetic. And it's like, do what you want. Like, stop worrying about what everyone else thinks. You need to do it how you want to do it. And it's not like we don't automatically rely on our parents anymore to help. It's very much, I think, particularly the... I hate it, but it is the Generation Z, the younger generations who are very much about paying for things themselves and getting the most out of their money. And I just think, just do it how you want.
Yeah,
and so many venues are ready for that now as well.
Yes.
I think that's like a prime example is my friend, she got engaged to her fiance a couple of years ago now. And I think they've always felt this pressure about having a big wedding and neither of them want a big wedding. And, you know, a month or so ago, she just turned around and was like, we're getting married in December and there's eight of us and that's just what we want. And I think that's just so beautiful because she's just surrounded by the people that she wants.
Yeah.
There's no pressure. It's just her and their close family.
Yeah.
And I just think that's so lovely.
I mean, we only ended up doing the big second wedding. Well, I say big, it was only 60 of us, but the bigger second wedding because of Hector and because like some other relatives were a little bit cheesed off.
Yes.
But generally, everyone was so happy for us. No one cared that we just buggered off and not told anyone.
Mm.
Yeah, you had a few sulkers, but everyone generally got over it. And I think that's the case now. You do get the older, maybe grandparents or some parents who might be a bit miffed, but people don't care anymore. They just want you to be happy.
Yeah. And so when brides come to Tilly's to pick their dress, do they usually bring like a lot of people? Because I've heard people talk about who they bring with them. It's best to bring like loads of people to get loads of opinions, or is it best to bring like just a couple of people? Like, just to go on your own.
I mean, you're going to get me on a rant now to a bit, and I'll try and rein it in a bit. I mean, COVID was good because it made, when we could reopen with COVID, it made it a lot easier in that we were quite strict about how many people we could have. I think brides need to, they absolutely need to bring the people with them that they need to be with them to support their choice. If they can't, oh, I couldn't possibly order the dress without my mum being here. Well, then bring your mum. Don't book an appointment if you can't order a dress without her being there. I just think that's insane. I went on my own because I don't need, I've got strong enough opinions on my own. I don't need other people's to confuse me more than anything. And what I do find with brides who insist on bringing hundreds and hundreds of people with them, it's too many opinions. And you find that not all the time, but a lot of the time, you get bridal parties who are maybe saying, oh, I don't like that dress, but well, no, you might not like the dress, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the bride in the dress.
Yeah.
And I've had before opinionated sisters who are maybe a little bit jealous that they're not getting married.
Yeah.
And I've had to put a few in their place about that. And we've had mums who have got very set ideas about what they want their daughters to wear, but it's not what the brides want to wear. So like I didn't, when my mum was alive, I did not take her to choose my wedding dress with me because she was too opinionated and she would have, even if she liked the dress, she would have said she found something wrong with it. And I just think, bring who you want to bring, but also you don't need to have everyone's opinion because it's just going to confuse you.
Yeah.
And you'll never make a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my friends, when she got married, she was saying how someone had told her to go and try her dress on. And, you know, if there's any photo, like if she gets a photo taken in the dress or anything like that, to go home and then delete the photos because she doesn't want to then keep looking back at the photos and keep picking things and being like, by the time you then go back for like fittings and stuff, you've decided, actually, I don't like that.
Oh my God, and I absolutely did that with, again, my first wedding. I'm sorry, I'm really like, when I got married, when I got married, I don't want to be fine. Like that. Let's talk about me again.
Married. Neither of us are married. Can't say that.
When I got, I'm not married. I've been married enough for all three of us, so it's fine.
Exactly.
Anyway, when I got married, I took all my bridesmaids with me to choose my dress, and then I took photos of it, and then I spent, because I got my dress 2 years before I got married, I then spent 2 years looking at my dress. I showed everyone my dress. Aww. And so on the day I came out and I was like, ba-ba! And everyone just carried on getting ready because
they'd already seen
everyone
it.
Had seen it, yeah. And also I showed one friend my dress and she went, oh. I went, oh, well, what? And she was like, well, nothing's wrong, nothing. I just didn't expect you to wear something like that. And so then you immediately get this doubt in your head. And I never tried it back on again and thought, oh, I regret it. Absolutely not. But I did spend 2 years looking at it. So then when I came out, that excitement. And I always say to brides, yeah, absolutely. Take photos if you want. But the lighting in here is shit because it's down lighting. So you're not going to look nice. Yeah. It's on an iPhone. You haven't got your hair and makeup ready. So by all means, take a photo and remind yourself if you want to. But if you go away and base your decision on how you look in a shit photo, you need to... I think it's hard because it's such an expensive purchase. Generally, there we have to be logical. We think it weigh up the pros and cons, and we really sort of dive into why we're spending the money on that. But with bridal dresses, it has to be emotional because you need to feel incredible in it. Because if you don't feel incredible in it, you won't. You'll have rubbish wedding photos that translate in your wedding photos. You just need to feel the. It's a cliche, but the best version of yourself, and you only get that from a feeling.
Yeah.
And so
we say, and other people can't dictate that to you. No, they don't know how you're feeling in that.
Yeah, in that moment.
Yeah. Mm. So I think a lot of people having opinions and, you know, showing it to everyone.
Yeah. It's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And I do think, I mean, there's the other side of that. I mean, girls come on their own. If you're the sort of person who needs validation.
Yes.
In one way or another, and you need someone to just say, yes, I absolutely think that's the best thing for you, then fine, bring people. But I mean, you do you, girl. And bring who you want. But I just think, don't try and please everyone and don't bring people just because you don't want them to fall out with you because you haven't taken them. Mm. Just say you want to save it as a surprise. Yeah. You want it to be a surprise for them. And photographers do this amazing thing where they take photos of the bridesmaid's expressions when the bride comes out for the first time.
That's so nice. And the obviously, I know not everyone, it's definitely not a thing to show your groom the dress before the day.
I know.
But the first look that we're seeing more now, the first, like the groom seeing the bride.
And then when the grooms do the full on ugly cry, like full on snot, I love that. They show all of those. It's like blokes really ugly crying. And it's like, okay, now pull yourself together. You're going to be ridiculous.
So, what in Tilly's have you seen a lot of this year? Like style wise, is there certain kind of styles that people have been picking? Like,
I mean, again, I don't want to sort of say that we're so different to everyone else, but I do like to think that all of our designers are so individual to each other that we don't have sort of a best-selling style. We don't have a best-selling designer. I mean, we do to an extent, but do you know what I mean? It's we don't have loads of the same thing because you do tend to find you're either a Charlie Brear bride or you're a Vagabond bride or you're a Maddie Lane. But
I don't want to say the word COVID, but obviously during COVID, people couldn't really get married or, you know, there was all these restrictions. And then... after COVID, we're kind of seeing a lot of the bigger dresses coming back.
Yes.
And ruffles.
Princess has really come back.
Absolutely. Yeah. 1,000%. And we're seeing a lot more of the whole black tie level of glamour, which I absolutely love. Yeah, we're definitely seeing classic, like a classic satin or classic Mikado, but structure, be it an A-line or be it a fishtail, an element of a statement. So be it like a statement bow or something on the back, or some detail in terms of seam work or something like that. But yeah, definitely those sort of clean lines.
Yeah,
the statement is in the sort of the understated glamour of the dress.
Yeah,
we're seeing a lot of that. Oscar de la Renta did a few years ago those sort of looks in his bridal collections, and it was just like clean silk satins, Mikados with a really bright red lip, bright red roses, that sort of, and we're seeing that again.
Yeah.
And like elements of, Laura and I were chatting earlier and we were saying things like, you are seeing the gloves, like a bit of a nod to the 90s as well.
Oh, definitely. We've talked about this actually being like a real trend for 2023, gloves.
Yeah. And that
really
was that.
I think, was it Hayley Bieber who?
Beckham woman.
And yes.
Yeah, she was them for her wedding,
Nicole.
She wore them, didn't she? And then a few people have worn them on like red carpets and things like that. And like you say, weddings are like, the trend at the moment is more like glam and like black tie and, you know, gloves really fit that.
Yeah, and I love it. And I love, if I could, my shop would be full of costume, like massive dresses, gloves, everything. I mean, but the girls won't let me, but but yeah.
So you'd have costume jewellery and black dresses.
Yeah, and I'd have massive crowns. Like, it would be just full on Tudors.
I think that's something we're seeing a lot more of as well, though, is like crowns, like bridal crowns.
Yeah. Bridal crowns, yes.
Yeah.
Huge.
And like pearls. And like pearl headbands.
Yeah. Your sister had the big pearl one.
Yeah, she had the big pearl.
Your sister looked really regal.
She did.
She did. Yes. She belonged, if you're watching this, you'll see the photos. They're not photos.
She belonged in one of these terrifying photos that clearly haunted her.
But they had like the black tie theme. And like Dave, my brother-in-law, was wearing like the velvet tux. And it was gorgeous. Yeah. But yeah, we're definitely seeing more of the like bigger accessories as well. And it's not just like the tiny little pearl earrings. Yeah. Yes. It's the pearl drops and the big earrings.
Yeah, and I think, and statement makeup. It's not all about that subtle bridal look anymore. I love a statement lip, particularly in black tie and evening weddings, all of these sort of things that are just quite sort of New York-y, waspy style.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. And a cape as well.
Yeah, we've had capes.
So many capes we've seen.
And our girl, Bryony Dalton, who's the most incredible makeup artist, but she was also one of our brides. She was our first bride to have a cape, and we made it for her.
I love that.
And yeah, now we shoehorn it onto any bride.
I love her. Just add a little bit of drama, don't they? Yeah. It's like understated drama.
I absolutely love it. I think it looks incredible.
And I think as well, veils... less people, we're seeing less people wear veils, and a cape kind of adds that extra I don't know about if in Tilly's you're seeing kind of people veer away from the veil.
So yeah, a lot of them don't want to. Whether they actually leave without wearing one is another thing. But we do have the most beautiful veil, which they call the Shan veil, because it's my favourite, and I bring it out always wheeling it out in appointments. But it's just really classic soft tulle, and it doesn't look like your sort of your 90s, 80s like
big
like netty veil. It's really beautiful. So it is a veil, but I think there's also that preconception that you need to have ones that look like superhero capes and things
I think my sister wore one that, well, it was my mum's one, so she wore my mum's one, which actually matched the dress lovely, but it was a long lace trim veil.
But that worked beautifully with hers because she had classic dress.
And I think that's a nice way to kind of incorporate something
borrowed.
You know, you don't have to wear your mum's dress, but you could wear her veil or her earrings or that kind of thing.
I like that. That's cute.
Yeah. Can we just mention as well, seeing as your dog is here, we saw on the videos your dogs at your wedding.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were all wearing accessories and veils.
Yes, they were. Because I was like, well, if I'm not wearing one, then they're wearing one. I mean, so my mum was a champion Dachshund breeder, so I've had Dachshunds my whole life.
Okay.
And so when she died, we had about 12 we needed to rehome. So we did them, rehomed as many as we could. And I had two and my sister had two. And my two were Mabel and Maud, which is the name of my outlet shop. So we always try and shoehorn the dogs in somewhere. And my mum would have been delighted to have seen all of these dogs. But yeah, we were only supposed to have had two at the wedding, but someone who was looking after the others for me let me down the day before, so they all had to come. So Laura last minute got one of our old veils. It was a bit battered, it had gone up a Hoover a couple of times, I think, and so we cut that up, tied that around the neck, and then Margot, who's disabled, is on wheels,
that was just the cutest.
We made
thing.
Her a massive flower arch, so that was all around the top, and Dee Dee had a wreath around her neck, but that went pretty quickly. I think one of the others pulled off her, but
I saw the image and sent me the video, and I was like, oh my God.
I was like, we need to ask Shan about this. Yeah. We talked to her on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I would have had them like in outfits if I could have done.
Little dresses.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We've done that for one of our brides, Gallia, one of our Gallia brides, and bless her, she was from Liverpool, and she came she loved coming to the shop. So she would drive to Liverpool from Liverpool from all her fittings and everything. Ooh. And we got some extra fabric for Gallia, and Kay, our seamstress, made a little outfit in exactly the same fabric for Poppy, like trotting down the aisle in this Gallia dog outfit.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot. Pets at weddings.
Pets at weddings.
It's huge. 100%.
It is
huge. And alpacas. We've seen
some llamas.
So what is one piece of advice that you'd give to brides or whoever coming into your bridal boutique, or one piece of advice that you'd wished you'd got when you were planning your weddings?
I mean, what do you want? I can do both.
Oh,
Give us both. As much advice as possible.
I mean, in terms of advice, it's like I said before, be open to what you want isn't what you're going to have, and trust in your stylists. Because if you're hell-bent on wearing a certain style, and if it's what you want, if it's what you walk out with, fantastic. But chances are it won't necessarily be that. So fine, come in with ideas, definitely. Come in with all your Pinterest boards, but don't be hell-bent on wearing that, and don't have tunnel vision, and just be open to moving on if it doesn't work for you.
Yeah. And also trying on styles that you may not have considered previously can potentially be tailored to. So like my sister with covering her arms, and she added the long sleeves, and that actually looked beautiful.
And we do that for, we do that for so many brides, just slight tweaks. I mean, you shouldn't have to change a wedding dress to make it perfect. If you've got to change it, it's not the one. But in terms of adding sleeves, adding straps, changing things in that respect, they're little tweaks. And if it just makes it perfect, we can absolutely do that. Yep. And if your appointment's with Laura, Laura's got the most amount of, she's got an incredible amount of technical knowledge. So, I mean, I make things up and I'm like, yeah, we can absolutely do that. And then our poor seamstresses are, why have you told them that? Like, well, I've done it now, so you have to do it. But Laura can absolutely tell you whether things can be done. And she comes up with the most incredible ideas of things that you just think, oh my God, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
So there's all, it's hard because you sort of have to trust us because you can't visualize what we're doing when we're wrapping a bit of tulle around your arm. But
trust the process.
But then in terms of my advice to brides, I think for us at the moment, the one piece of advice I would give is we hear a lot, oh, I couldn't possibly order my dress. You're my first shop. It's the first dress I've tried on. It's the first place I've been. Yeah, but if that's your mindset, then you're not ready to buy a wedding dress. You need to be open to the fact that you could walk into a shop and try on one dress and it'll be perfect for you. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Do you get a lot of brides doing that?
So many. So many. And because we've got a great reputation, brides tend to come to us straight away. And then that's all we hear is, oh, they're crying. They love a dress so much. It's the one, but I just didn't expect to find it on my first go.
Freaks them out.
Yeah. And it makes them panic because they see so much on social media, on telly, on all of these things, that they need to go to all these shops, or they've had friends who went to 17 shops and tried on 84 dresses, so then they think they should do the same. But believe me, there's only 6 to 8 cuts of a wedding dress, and you'll only ever see variations on that same style. There will always be more dresses. There's nothing wrong with saying yes to your dress, be it with Tilly's or be it with any other shop. If you go to that shop and you try on a dress that you love, that's fine. It's fine.
Just, I think, as well, you'd always just be comparing it to that one anyway. So,
That's, you know,
if you've got it in your head, you found something that you absolutely love, that you feel good in. Then,
like, Laura had a bride in on Saturday, and she came in, but she'd found a Jane Hill dress that she loved. And Laura was like, look, you found your dress. Go and get that dress. There's, like, we can't compete with that. We haven't got anything like it. You found a dress, go and get the dress. It's okay to do it.
I think that's good advice, to be honest. I feel like people need to be comfortable in the fact that if you try on one, you love it, end of story. Don't try and replicate it.
I tried on one dress, and I've got a shop full of dresses to choose from, and I tried on one and that was it.
Well, you do have a thing at the moment where people can
we wanted
buy
to talk
tickets.
About this.
Dresses.
To come and just try dresses on and drink Prosecco with your girlfriends. You don't have to be getting married.
No, absolutely not. So this is Laura's incredible idea, because we do hear all the time, oh, I wish I was getting married, or oh, I want to get married again. And I just think, oh, it's such a shame, because we have all these dresses and they just sort of sit there waiting for people to come in and try them on. Why not make the most of them? And so, yeah, we went with 27 dresses because that was Adam's idea, because of the film 27 Dresses. I feel like that's probably trademarked and we can't use that. So I might have to come up with another name.
28 dresses.
28, 27 and a half.
28.
27 dresses in a jumpsuit. But yeah, so it's just anyone's opportunity to come in and just, get pissed and try on a load of dresses and just have a brilliant time.
I think that sounds like such a fun evening.
I just think,
day.
Why or not? Event. Yeah, why not do it? And we've put together, so you can just do it and come in and book a time. Like, I can't do it all the time because I will forever be in that shop drunk and I do have to mother my child at some point. But yeah, so we've got set dates that we can offer it. But also we're going to do hen party ones. It's an elevated experience. There'll be like games and goodie bags and all of those sort of things. But yeah, so we've done both. So you can just come in and...
Can we come and test it out?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Please do it
because we need photos. So yeah, come and do it. Come and do it. 100%.
I'm so good at getting drunk.
Yeah, I'm really good at it as well. Obviously, only for supportive purposes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you so
much. I've got more to say. I've got more to talk about.
I don't
feel like I've fully talked about myself enough.
Your two weddings. Yeah. No, it's been so nice.
Thank you for having us. I'm honoured. I'm honoured that you asked.
Thank you so much.
And we'll pop all the notes and links to all the articles that we've discussed, and obviously links to Tilly's in all
my wedding, links to my wedding,
and links to your wedding, so that everyone can see the dog's accessories, of course.
And we'll post pictures of Renee
and
now
the,
asleep.
Bandioki.
Oh, yes, you
which
have to do
this. Which
is
such a good idea.
Bandioki, it's karaoke, but with a live band.
I love
so
that.
So you basically feel like you're famous all night.
And you just wouldn't get me off the stage.
Yeah, well, you
I hate karaoke,
me.
But I think bandioki would be amazing.
Yeah, and I think I'm a really good singer, but footage says that I am not a good singer. But yeah, I loved it. And the thing is, no one else got a look in, so people are submitting songs, but then I'm just back
you
up
just
there again
it.
Doing another one. And yeah, I loved every
but
minute of it.
You were the bride, so...
Well, yeah, exactly. And even if it wasn't my wedding, I would have probably taken it over, to be fair. But yeah, everyone has to do bandioki. It's the best thing in the world.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is brought to you by We Are The Clarks, a creative photo and film team. You can find links to all articles in our show notes at rockmywedding.co.uk. And remember, if you're loving the Rock My Wedding podcast, please like, share or leave a review on Apple or Spotify.